Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Monday, February 22nd, 2016. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Well, gold, some pressure on gold today, but the likelihood of it still staying above 1,200 is good. We have gold down 18 today at 1,208.70. We have silver down 18 at 1,524. Platinum is down 12 at 930. And we have palladium down 3 at 499. And yes, we can all assume that the dollar was stronger today, 0.78 at 97.37, up 0.78 at 97.37. Crude oil today was also up strong, 1.84 at 31.43. And the paper markets today, they ran them up big, stayed there all day. And the Dow up 228 points at 16,620. The NASDAQ up 66 at 4570. S&P up 27 at 1945. All of them were up just about almost 1.5%. The 10-year yield, 0.02 up at 1.77%. Pressure on the euro, 0.96 at 110. You know, we were talking, was following Chesapeake Energy, today. I mean, it was a great stock to short, a great stock to go long. We have it up 16% today, Chesapeake Energy. That doesn't mean that they won't be filing bankruptcy, but that does help them, but it's still at 2.33. European markets, Germany up 2%, London 1.5%, Hong Kong and Japan basically, up fractionally. And I saw the Chinese, the Shanghai up earlier today. I don't think that changed too much. I can pull that up here quickly. It was up 2.33% at 29.27. So, ow.
Yeah.
The world is happy again. Everything is good. Everything is... The economies must be turning around.
Happy days.
Happy days. Yes. Gee. Isn't that great?
We don't have debt. We don't have negative interest rates. We don't have the threat of losing our $100 bills. Everything is just about perfect. We've got kind of a Mary Poppins economy going on right now.
I suspect, and certainly, you know, good strong numbers all across the board, all across the world. You know, there's discussions of Europe leaving the Eurozone, not Europe leaving, but London,
yeah.
Britain leaving the Eurozone. And that didn't seem to have much impact, maybe the little pressure on their on the euro. But, you know, it's funny. Britain doesn't share the currency anyway. They stayed with their own. They're not involved in the euro. And they just want more control over the eurozone. And if they don't get it, they're threatening to pull out of the eurozone.
Well, it's Britain's whether Britain's stays or leaves, it's mostly a vote of confidence, I think, for the eurozone. I think the eurozone is sufficiently fragile right now, where if Britain pulled out, I don't know how much direct effect that would have, but it would be a vote of no confidence. It would be Britain's way of saying, I don't think you guys are going to make it. A lot of people would probably agree with them, mm-hmm. and whatever indicators you have for Great Britain, or not Great Britain, but for the Eurozone, European Union, they'd probably go down. But I think Britain's in or out, I think it's more psychological than it is fundamental.
Yes, it gives the idea of a united, that they're all united together.
Yeah, and on top
you
of
know,
it,
it's
growing.
Mm-hmm.
Today, England, tomorrow, the world. You know, I mean, it's an idea whose time has come and everybody wants to get in. If Britain leaves, what about Greece? What about Spain and Portugal and Ireland? I mean, once somebody starts to bail out of the European Union, it's another one of those moments where a lot of people are going to sit around and say, you know, that guy with those, you know, the guy who's so finely dressed, turns out he was naked all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they kind of see that. One of them sees it, and then the rest of them say, hey, you're right. Hard to say what the results are, but I think it's more psychological.
Well, I always thought Germany had more pull over the zone than Britain did.
Well, I agree.
I agree. You know, certainly, you know, Germany is beginning to have their problems too, but more internally. It's like a lot of these countries seem to be having more problems internally with the citizens and the you know, some sort of the people being very unhappy with the way government is being run.
Mm-hmm.
People are waking up and they're understanding over there anyway, maybe even to here to some degree, but they're waking up and you know, we've read reports recently about the lines in Europe. People, the gold shops lining the streets, trying to get into these stores to buy gold because they understand. They understand where things are going. They've been there before, and they understand governments. You know, they kind of let the governments do what they do as long as, you know, the people don't seem to be affected, you know, as long as the people are surviving.
Yeah, just,
but once they begin to have difficulties in surviving, of course, they,
mm-hmm.
you know, have a tendency to uprise.
When the government jockey gets too fat,
mm-hmm.
you can't carry him anymore. Right? As long as he keeps fairly stoles his weight down the rest of that, we can put up with this monkey on our back. But they reach a point where they get too fat, and finally people say, hey, listen, something's got to be done about this.
You got to lose some weight, bud.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I'm going to lose some weight, and it's going to be the guys on my back. You're going. Goodbye. There's, you know, talking about people recognizing problems. There's an article from the Wall Street Journal that negative interest rate policy spurs sales of safes in Japan. It's actually a video, but there was brief commentary. It said demand for safes has jumped in Japan as people look for options to stash their cash following the Bank of Japan's introduction of negative interest rates. So why are they buying safes? Because the Japanese people aren't going to deposit their currency into bank accounts if they know that thanks to negative interest rate policies, they're guaranteed to lose some of their deposits. Therefore, they'll take their cash and put it in a safe that's next to or perhaps under their beds. Negative interest rate policy is failing before it gets started. If the Japanese can't save their money in a bank vault, they'll save it in a home safe. Implication: Japanese people are fearful of the future and determined to save whatever they can as preparation for an impending economic emergency. They will not borrow more currency. They will not spend the currency they have. They will not stimulate the Japanese economy. The story of increased sales of safes in Japan is more than an interesting or funny anecdote. It's an important story, or at least I think it is, because it provides concrete evidence of the mindset of the Japanese people. Their refusal to spend and determination to save is evidence that the psychology, a psychology that's conducive to economic depression. We want to know how the world is heading in. If we want to know if the world is heading into a depression, perhaps we should just research the sale of safes in the United States, European Union, and China. The sale of safes just might be one of the most reliable economic indicators insofar as those rising sales, that's of safes, are evidence of falling confidence in central banks and national economies. Japanese have had enough. They're saying, well, you guys go ahead and have negative interest rates, but we're not going to deposit our money in your banks.
The poor problem is they're going to have that cash in their safes, and it's going to be losing value as they go along. At least China, you know, their citizens, they're encouraged to buy gold. You know, they're encouraged to convert, you know, the currencies into gold. And so even you know, your European nations, even they understand the value of gold. But
it's hard to know what's going to happen here. We've got this talk about governments around the world want to get rid of cash. Well, it's just they say it's to stop the criminals, okay, and prevent tax evasion and all sorts of, oh my gosh, people aren't paying their fair share to the beloved government. We've got to do something about that. The truth of the matter is, I have less to fear from the drug dealers selling drugs for cash than I do from a government that puts all of our bank wealth into the banks where you can't have cash. Once all of your wealth is concentrated in a digital account in a bank, they can capture that wealth by just throwing a switch. They are allegedly saving us from one group of criminals in order to expose us to another group of criminals, and that would be the government, who will take the money out of the banks if they have to. Right? So, I don't know. I wonder, can we get rid of cash in Japan and cash in the United States and cash in the European Union and cash in China? Can we dispense with all of the world's cash at the same time? Or can they only take out one country at a time? Is this a coordinated effort, or just, okay, we'll take the cash out of Europe now, and then we'll get the United States, and then later we'll get Japan first? Hard to say. There were none? Is that what we're going to deal with this cash thing? Or are they going to try to take cash out all at once? And I almost wonder if they have to take cash out all at once.
Well, I wasn't thinking so much as far as making it a cashless. I was thinking more along the lines of inflation. I mean, because their currencies will become weaker and they'll be losing, you know, their purchasing power. This week there is a meeting, the G20, I guess, is meeting in Shanghai later this week. And, you know, they're going to be talking about currency policy commitments because, you know, these countries are just manipulating their currencies and trying to use devalued currencies to jump their exports.
Yep.
You know, so that to me, this is also telling me if the U.S. is going to be, you know, bringing
their national debt, their government debt.
If a U.S. Treasury is bringing this up as a major concern, sure, at the G20 meeting, it would also tell me that they're worn out with our dollar being as strong as it is, because all of these other central banks around the world, Europe, Japan, China, they're all manipulating their currencies They're all cheapening downward. Their currency. Yeah. So.
And when they do with the dollar index, if they go down in value, the dollar has to go up in value. All right. It's that got that teeter-totter effect. If the major currencies in the world are inflating, then the dollar has to deflate. I mean, if we allow that relationship to continue, their inflation contributes to our deflation. Deflation contributes to economic, at least stagnation, maybe depression. I am amazed that they've allowed the dollar to gain value as long as they have. Close to 2 years right now. I'm surprised that they've allowed that to take place. But it pretty much
tells me they want
a depression.
Well, it was easier because you have countries like China that had they have the ability because their country is stronger. We were struggling to, keep the system from collapsing where, they still had some kind of growth and the ability to manipulate was fairly easy. They strayed away from their commitment of only allowing their currency to adjust by a certain percentage points. But with this meeting also, I think what is important is there's a possibility. I don't think it's going to come from this G20 meeting, but they're looking for maybe a proposal. Maybe the proposal is a little premature, but somehow that they could orchestrate a coordinated exchange rate adjustment. So again, to me, going back to what I believed for years and years and years and years, for 20 years, they're going to have these basket of currencies, and somehow they will, to me, the only way they could keep countries from adjusting their currencies to within any certain degree is to have that basket controlled by gold. Not 100%, maybe only 10%, I don't know. But I think this is why gold will play a very important part in global trade. They had trade units before, and I think gold will play a very important part in the universal global trade if it continues, if the trade continues.
Well, two things. First off, let's suppose that the government of the United States said, we're done with cash. I don't think they can. I don't think they will. But they might keep nickel and diming us, take away our $100 bills, which have purchasing power comparable to $5 bills when I was a kid. It's, oh, my gosh, these $5 bills, they're enriching the criminals. And in order to prevent crime, see? Oh, that's a bunch of crap. Biggest criminals we have in this country are in Washington, D.C., and they're elected to public office and or appointed to positions in the Federal Reserve.
Well, I don't think the global trade has anything to do with whether they're going to take our cash system.
We have used the dollar has been used for global trade for throughout most of my lifetime. And it's estimated that 3/4 of the actual paper dollars in the world are offshore someplace where people are. They're hoarding them, keeping them under their bed to use. They save. They don't trust their local currency, so they use paper dollars. Well, just because we cancel paper dollars doesn't mean that the rest of the world, China, for example, might say, we're going to keep on with the yuan. We've got the paper yuan going. It's worked good for us. We're going to keep that up. And people in this country will begin to save paper yuan the same way people in Japan and China and Europe and whatever have saved paper dollars over the last 40 years. If there is one currency that from a viable economy that's still paper, the rest of the world's going to say, I'm going to put my savings into that. I'm not going to put my savings into a form that the government of the United States can steal, which would be digital dollars. So we'll watch and see what happens, and it implies that if they're going to go cashless, they've got to go cashless around the world all at once.
And that's even what China says. They don't want these countries don't want one reserve currency. They want to melt them all together.
Anyway. I wonder if China, for example, I wonder if it's even possible for the Chinese economy to go all digital. I wonder how many of the, poor people in China, how many of them have credit cards, debit cards, plastic, how many of them are running on cash? Can they convert the entire Chinese economy to something cashless? I doubt that they can. I doubt that they can do it here in the United States. They're moving in that direction. just, not easily done.
Just introduce the Black Plague and the...
Yeah, I'd be done with it. Yeah,
be done with it.
All right, either the Black Plague or the bumper music, whichever comes first. We got bumper music, so it looks like we're going to live a little bit longer. I'm Alfred Addis, here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Financial obligations or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll-free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. The program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
I just want to remind the listeners to visit our website at DGS for Discount Gold Silver coins.com. Make sure you sign up for a weekly newsletter, and of course you can listen to our radio programs live, and they are also archived. They're on a weekly, and then we archive them for a longer period of time. So make sure you visit the website dgscoins.com. Tomorrow we have Greg Hunter joining us for the most of the hour, right after the market report. He will be joining us live, and we always enjoy having Greg Hunter from USA Watchdog once a month. So make sure you tune in tomorrow.
Got an article here, another one talking about Japan and negative interest rates. This is from 24-Hour Gold. Revolt against negative interest rate policy breaks out. Bank of Japan baffled. Oh, my gosh. People of Japan, we talked about it earlier, they're buying safes. They're not accepting this. Central bank imposed negative interest rates have caused a lot of financial mayhem. Since they've contaminated much of Europe, they've dragged most major stock indices into a bear market. And the U.S. stocks fell hard as well. The NASDAQ sidled up to a bear market before bouncing off and is now down only 14% from its peak. The Russell 2000 is in a bear market, down 22%. In Japan, stocks have been mauled. Bank of Japan has, since the Bank of Japan inflicted the idea of negative deposit rates on the land 3 weeks ago. This was after Bank of Japan Governor Haruhiko Kuroda had repeatedly assured Parliament that he wasn't even considering the idea. You can trust me, we're not even thinking about it. Well, they did it. And despite a bounce earlier this week, the Nikkei is now down 24% from its recent high. The Bank of Japan Governor Kuroda stood before Japanese Parliament on Thursday, was lambasted from all sides. He found himself dodging a concerted attack in Parliament from lawmakers who charged the negative interest rate policy was victimizing consumers and sending a message of despair. And I think they're exactly right. I think there's two components here. You set up this negative interest rate where you say, okay, you put your money in our bank account, and we're going to charge you for putting your money in our bank account. Well, that's where they're victimizing consumers. Consumers put $1,000 or $100,000 in the bank account, and when they come back a year later, they have perhaps $980,000. They've lost some money. All right? That's victimizing consumers. But the other point here is correct. By imposing negative interest rates, they are sending a message of despair. All right? And here's another one, another lawmaker. He's talking. He says, you have sent a message to the people that they had better watch out because Japan's economy is in trouble. Again, they're telling us that by imposing negative interest rates, the people in the central bank say, oh, we are so smart. We've got PhDs and we went to, you know, important schools, rest, and we know what we're doing. And the way the public is understanding negative interest rates is not an expression of intelligent control. It's an expression of desperation. There's nothing else they can do, so they're going to try something crazy. Let's try negative interest rates. Maybe that'll work. Another lawmaker, Akira Koike, said, you've sent a message to the people at the, we already said Japan's economy is in common. Already got that one. They claim that these negative interest rate is confusing the market. And what it's actually doing is sending it south, according to this article. Plunging stocks in Japan and around the world are not part of the negative interest rate plan. Nor is the rising deflating yen that, despite all efforts to inflate it, have jumped up against the dollar since the announcement of negative interest rate policy. Inflating the yen was supposed to increase Japanese exports so they could pull Japan out of trouble, but exports are now plunging. Japan's Ministry of Finance reported in January exports plunged almost 13%, biggest drop since October 2009. An unnamed official explained the public reaction to NIRP, a negative interest rate policy, this way. Those who understand this policy are criticizing us, and those who do not understand are also criticizing us. They're catching it from both sides. So the Bank of Japan has a tough job. Beyond the financial manipulations, it is, as the DJ Business puts it, struggling with a different and equally hard to control force, public opinion. That negative reaction against negative interest rate policy from the public and the markets has left the Bank of Japan baffled. All right? They can't, oh my gosh, the people aren't responding. It's like touching the electrode to the frog leg in high school biology, and it doesn't jump. What's going on here? What it boils down to is this. The whole thing is a confidence game. People, particularly investors, need to believe in the government's economists and in the central banks as if they were divine forces. People need to blindly and in unison follow their central bank's guidance and not deviate or look at reality. But when the public's faith and confidence in central banks suddenly fails, all heck breaks loose. And that's what we're seeing to some degree. It raises questions for everybody. What about the rest of the world? Japan's public is just responding. They're saying, we don't want negative interest rates. They're not necessarily rioting, but they're buying safes. They're going to take their money out of the banks where they think they're going to, if they think their cash is going to be afflicted, and they're going to store it under their bed. Well, what does that mean? I mean, it means negative interest rates is contributing. They had hoped, perhaps, to cause inflation and stimulate the economy. But what's going to happen is people are going to take their money out of the banks, stick it under the bed, and they won't spend it. They're just going to save it, which is, again, part of the psychology of economic depression. They are perhaps causing more recession, more perhaps depression in Japan by imposing negative interest rates. And the fact that they're doing this is just evidence that the Bank of Japan doesn't have any more options. They've got to try stupid things because they don't have anything smart enough to do the job. Well, what's that going to mean for European Union, for example? The United States is contemplating negative interest rates. Will Japan's experience that the public is just saying, we don't want it? We're going away. We're not going to riot. We're not going to demonstrate. We're just going to take our money and put it in a safe under our bed. Is that going to discourage Janet Yellen and the Federal Reserve from imposing negative interest rates in the United States? And what about Europe? Negative interest rates are already there. Are people going to start to rethink this and say, all right, enough, this is crazy? But can they? Can they admit this is stupid? And the only thing we have to do is, the only thing we can do is something stupid. I mean, this whole thing is based more on psychology than it is on fundamentals. And they can't admit, oh, guess what? We don't know what we're doing. They've got to kind of bluff their way through and pretend, oh, this is brilliant. This is economic, sound economic theory. It's nonsense. It's insanity. They can't admit they're wrong and they can't make it work. Are you laughing with me or at me right now?
Well, it just really is incredible, you know, that, I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out negative interest rates. You know, there's something wrong, you know. But yet, hey, look at the world markets today.
Today's up. Who knows? Maybe they can make it work.
But the
presumption is that the world's dummies, that would be the taxpayers, the consumers, the ordinary people, that they will follow. They will follow the Federal Reserve and the central banks no matter what.
Sure, right? We all bought Obamacare, didn't we? They knew.
We'll get a silent whistle, just like we use for the dogs, you understand? And we'll blow on the silent whistle, and all the people will come running in whatever direction we want them to run because they are good, trained little animals. Well, maybe they're not. Now what? You know, it's the previous article, the Japanese central bank is baffled. The public isn't following their lead. And that spells the end, all right? One of the things about this is once the central banks lose the public's confidence, once we begin to understand there's only a little man behind the curtain, there's no genius back there, it doesn't matter how many PhDs they've got, they don't know what they're doing, all right? Once we figure that out, how do they restore confidence, which is what the whole system runs on? I mean, that's the real danger. It's not just the economic fundamentals, what's happening to the inflation rate, where's the Dow Jones today, and the rest of that sort of thing. It goes to public confidence. And if they lose that one time, how do they get it back? And this has got to be a serious problem, a serious consideration for all the central banks. They understand they can't go too far, and they don't know where too far is. And some of them say, yeah, we can go farther. We can have negative interest rates. I don't know. We'll charge you money even if they don't deposit anything in the bank. How about that? Somewhere sooner or later, they hit the line. The line may vary in different countries, may vary in different age groups. But they cross that line, and all of a sudden, they lose at least an age group. And they cross another line, and they might lose confidence for the whole country. And how do they put the system back together once the people have lost their trust in their central bank and their monetary system? Now, at that point in time, people are going to set it back, and they're going to say, you know, I don't think I can trust these pieces of paper. I think I'm going to start looking for a different medium to store the wealth that I've earned over the years by my hard work. A lot of them are going to sit back and say, you know, I think I'll get some gold, maybe some silver. What do you think? Should we do that? Here's an article from CNBC.com, and the headline is, this just cracks me up, trouble ahead? Eurozone business activity declines further. That's the headline. The headline makes me laugh. Trouble ahead? What a stupid question. U.S. stock markets are generally down. We've had it's been making some sort of resurgence in the last week or so. Japan's stock markets are down. China's stock markets are down. Europe's stock markets are down. And CNBC.com asks, trouble ahead? You think? Business activity in the euro hit a 13-month low in February. Second consecutive month of slowdown reflected a waning in growth of new orders for the third consecutive month. Last month, flash data showed that European business activity slowed to its weakest level since February of 2015. One economist at Market said the latest disappointing data greatly increases the odds of more aggressive stimulus from the European Central Bank in March. That means they're having even more negative interest. Gee, that's worked so well. It's worked so well in Japan. It's going to work here in Europe. We just need more, better negative interest. Or maybe more quantitative easing. What do you think, Melody? More negative or more quantitative easing? Well, he goes on. Not only
well, negative is quantitative, but go ahead.
No, it's not. Quantitative easing is when they pump the money in.
Well, it's just negative interest. It's another form, but
yeah,
go ahead.
It's just another form. They're both supposed to stimulate the economy.
It's just another form. Different name, another form.
The survey indicate the weakest pace. Not only did the survey indicate the weakest pace of economic growth for just over a year, but deflationary forces intensified. The need to compete on price has become increasingly widespread, and that's deflationary. There are increasing expectations the European Central Bank will launch further quantitative easing and deeper negative interest rates at its March meeting. Again, given that the Japanese people have openly revolted against negative interest rate policy, that's NERP, will the European Central Bank learn from Japan and forego more NERP? Or are they painted into a corner where they must do something, even if they know that whatever they do will only make matters worse? I mean, that's where we are right now, or that's where we certainly appear to be. They don't have a negative. It's like the emperor, he's announcing that he's going to buy himself a new and even more beautiful cape. Well, it's still an invisible cape, emperor. You understand? And the world is beginning to pick up on it. One little boy at a time, we're beginning to say, hey, that guy doesn't have any clothes on. All of us are beginning to see this. And as we do, you know, what's going to happen to the emperor? How does he maintain his authority, his power, whatever? We are definitely in strange and perhaps dangerous times. We're going to take a break for some commercials. Melody and I will be right back on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned. Thank you.
Epidemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. And stop in here and get financial news and also learn to work on your undertaker's sense of humor. Because it really does look as if we're going to bury some significant elements of the global economy in the foreseeable future. Maybe this year, not necessarily in the next month or two, not impossible. But maybe this year, we could see something unwind dramatically. And some people actually think it's going to happen quickly. All right? I don't know when it's going to happen. You know, I mean, we can't give you prophecy. I know that some people, they can. They can give you prophecy.
Really?
They can tell you they can tell you exactly when it's going to crash and how big the crash is.
Name me one.
It'll be 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Monday, the 16th day of July, and on that about 2 o'clock, it'll all just. There's some prophets out there. We are not among them, but even so,
Speak for yourself.
The Bible says you can. There's signs of the times. You don't know exactly what's going on, but you still know what's going on.
And I just want to say something, too. Just because we don't make predictions, just because we understand that no one can, and we say that no one can truly predict, doesn't mean that we don't know what's going on.
No, I agree.
I mean, we probably know more than those who try the predictions, because they have to stay to a certain script in order to, support their predictions and so forth, where, you know, we take a much broader look and an analysis of what is going on. So we probably have a clearer and better idea of what is going on and how it's going to happen and so forth than a lot of these urgency type prediction people, you know, that.
Well, I'm thinking of Harry Dent.
I'm not saying anything yet. But boy, oh boy, when the day comes,
He's predicting $700 gold.
I don't want to jinx it. So let's just move on.
Well, the thing about it is, you know, some people are shameless. And they will make absurd and irrational predictions. And it works for them. Because people respond to it in a positive way. I say, oh, something's going to happen on such and such. Oh, he says, if you name a date, it gives you a certain amount of credibility.
And in my mind,
so named a date, he named a price, he named something specific. It gives you a certain amount of credibility if you stick your neck out and you say, this is what's going to definitely happen on this date or at this price. All right? Well, it gives you a certain amount of credibility unless you get to that date. It's kind of like the Shemitah. We're going to have the Shemitah that's happening September 2015, and the whole thing is going down. That's when the Jubilee starts and the whole thing collapses. Well, maybe not. All right, that was biblical. That was biblical prediction, at least according to some people's analysis. There's another guy out, I'm not going to name him right now, but they're saying, no, they missed. The Shemitah's not 2015, it's 2016, see? Well, you got to be shameless to make some of these predictions. You got to be, so you can, where you can look people in the eye, and even though you said, you know, gold's going to 700, well, the whole thing is falling on Tuesday afternoon at 4:30.
The thing of it is, Al, we have an understanding of what is going to happen and when it's going to happen. We don't need to make those predictions,
well,
you know, because because it's coming. That day of reckoning is coming. And people should be blessed in thinking that they do have an extra time to get prepared, and not just
maybe
with your gold and silver.
Anymore, though.
No, but every day counts. So that's what it means. You just can't be sitting on the fence anymore waiting to see if some of these predictions come true. And what happens so often over the years, and I've heard them for 20 years, over 20 years, the same ones, same people. They create this urgency, yet they can do a great job and to some degree of getting people to pay attention. You know?
That's
but then,
the point.
But
that's
then the other point, but then the other degree of it is, if it doesn't fold out, then people lose the sight of things. They move on to something else and, well, you know, I was dumb for listening to that guy. And they move on and they don't do anything. That is also very dangerous.
Well,
so the key is to getting an understanding and grasping, you know, how it all works and why that fiat currency has been dangerous and why we are here today because of that fiat currency. Yeah. And what happens when you have, it isn't the central bankers that have created this problem that we have. It was the fiat currency that has created the problem that we have. Yes, the central bankers did, you know, put us on the fiat currency, but here we are today with the problems, and they're trying to fix the problems that can't be fixed.
They can't. They can't.
Because
you've got an irrational system.
Yes.
It's GEICO. Garbage
and
in, GEICO out. Once we accepted fiat currency, we put this nation on a path to a day of reckoning. They say, oh, fiat currency, this is so brilliant. This is almost as smart as negative interest rates. But it's all crazy. It's wrong. It's wicked. It worked kind of, it seemed to be working, but it was the whole time the fiat currency was working, we were building the national debt higher and higher and higher. And it's now at a point where it can't possibly be paid. Right? And when it finally goes into, they finally have to admit it, and the government says, huh, guess what? We don't have anything to pay you. We can't pay the national debt. That means whatever portion they can't pay, if they can't pay half the national debt, if they can't pay all of the national debt, but whatever portion they can't pay, there are, let's suppose that they can't pay $9 trillion, half of the current national debt. That $9 trillion is memorialized in the form of U.S. treasuries. And when they admit we can't pay $9 trillion, it means that half the treasuries in the country are now worthless. And that $9 trillion is being used by banks and individuals and say, oh, we're wealthy, or we have collateral to lend money because we have these U.S. treasuries in our bank vault. Only half of them are worthless. Now what? They can't lend as much money. Whatever they've loaned based on that currency has to be called back in.
And during the break, we were talking about how the stress test for these banks you know, it became an annual event since 2011, supposed to keep these banks to where their reserve, their capital is kept at a certain level. So if there's anything, you know, that comes along, then, you know, everything would be okay. But now they're looking to increase the reserves. The stress tests I think they go into, you know, the results will be released, I think, in June, I believe. But the chief U.S. bank regulator said last week it would look more critically at operational risks, assuming bigger hits from events such as class action lawsuits, a rogue trader, or a major cybersecurity breach. But there's something much bigger going on than this. The Fed assuming bigger falls in unemployment, a deeper trough in Europe, and negative short-term interest rates throughout the nine-quarter planning horizon. These are going to have major impacts. And I think, too, the oil industry. I mean, there's no talk about how these banks have been hit on all these defaults on the loans from the oil industry due to these really low... Yeah, I know. They're just coming in. So,
yet they see it coming, and they're starting to flinch, but they haven't been hit by this stuff yet. Not seriously. Big hits still coming.
Absolutely. But to start, it's been a fairly turbulent year so far. Last week, you had the Minneapolis Fed governor who said, you know, hey, you know, there's these big banks still pose a nuclear threat to the economy. Now, I'm not a fan of him. I know where he came from. He's a Goldman Sachs guy, helped with the TARP program. You know, they brought him in for 6 months, 7 months. Hank Paulson did. They're all buddies. You know, he scouted, you know, he got lost a little ways, went to Ken. Now he's all of a sudden he's a Fed president, governor. So, you know, but he should know what's going on, and maybe a little statement, just something like that, should make you feel concerned about what is happening to our banking system. And that even though it seems things are going good because, hey, the stock market is up, things must be okay.
Former Congressman Ron Paul issues the following warnings. This was from the Washington Times. According to Ron Paul, currency collapse is inevitable by the spring of 2016. Well, that's around now. Now, Congressman Paul is not a prophet. Right? We don't know when there's going to go, when it's going to go. But on the other hand, Paul is a pretty well-educated individual. He has a pretty good grasp of what's going on in the economy in this world. And I'm not arguing that we're going to see a collapse this spring, a currency collapse this spring within the next couple of months. That's not an argument I'm making right now. But on the other hand, if Ron Paul says it's going to happen, it's worth considering and saying, you know, he might have a point. And the same article points out that also the International Monetary Fund has warned that the world currency could change as soon as spring of 2016. Again, we got the spring of 2016 warning. Senator Ted Cruz has bashed the Federal Reserve and endorses the gold standard. Now, I'm not in favor of Ted Cruz. He's from Texas. I'm in Texas. I don't trust that guy as far as you can throw him. But just the same, it is interesting to me that he's endorsed the gold standard. That's, you know, it's an ill wind that blows no good. Fiscal crisis will cause federal government to target 401ks and IRAs for additional revenue. Why? Because the official national debt, well, this is coming again from the Washington Times. The official national debt has hit $19 trillion.
And the retirement
which is almost identical to the $20 trillion size of the IRA accounts.
That's what we talked about last week.
Those accounts are at risk. There are strange things afoot, and when the stock market is going up, apparently they haven't heard that things are heating up in Syria. Right? I mean, everything. Happy days are here again. World War III may be coming, but happy days are here again. I mean, this is one of those moments where people are drinking in the saloon on the Titanic as it begins to sink under the waves. We got a lot of people that are sitting around saying, hey, let's have another drink. Play some more music. Let's dance. Well, there's a certain fatalism in that and a certain stupidity. There's other people out there that are trying to get into a lifeboat. All right. And who do you suppose survived? The ones who tried to get into the lifeboat or the ones who were still drinking when they knew the ship was going down?
And it's like you never know what they can do, but you have Carrie. He's trying to work out some details of a Syrian ceasefire, with Russia. And Turkey is demanding unconditional U.S. support to fight the Syrian Kurds. So it's like, really?
It's just insane.
It's insane.
Yeah, there's no consistency on this.
But again,
it's like creating, what is the unemployment number? Hand me my dartboard. Hand me a dart. Okay, we got 3.3% unemployment. How do we know? This whole thing is nuts.
And the whole point is we have an administration. I mean, Carrie, I mean, they really do not know what they're doing.
And they can't.
I mean,
I think that's part of it.
Oh, I do believe it could have been handled much better. I think this whole situation could have been handled much better than what it's handled. But I do believe
it went off the dollar.
But I do believe this is all by design also from this administration, too.
I don't think it's just by design. I think these people are grasping at straws on a daily basis, just trying to hold this thing together somehow and hope that something breaks their way. But I think there are systemic problems in fiat currency, from my perspective, a debt-based fiat currency. That is so much trouble. That's like having somebody living in your house who's got pneumonia, tuberculosis, measles, and I don't know how many more communicable diseases. And you're all hoping, maybe we won't get it. Uncle Bob's got it, but maybe just try to avoid using the bathroom. That disease is in your house, folks. And you're going to have to do something to protect yourself from that disease. And if you don't, you can go, the saloon is open. It's on the stern of the Titanic. You can go in there and have yourself a couple of, Jack Daniels or beer or whatever you want. Enjoy yourself. It's later than you think. Or get ready, because we are running out of time. We have about 30 seconds left, Melody.
We got some Silver Eagles in. We have a lot of silver product in. There's no delays in any product. So give us a call, 1-800-375-4188. It's 800-375-4188. Remember, folks, Greg Hunter, USA Watchdog, will be here tomorrow.
Okay, folks, we are out of time. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. I want to thank all of you for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. There never seems to be a single penny left for me.
Flash too fast.